Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. We'll read verses 11 through 18 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Put on the whole armor of God, that he may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And let me read one other verse for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. You need not turn there. Romans 8, 11 says, But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Thank you that the Spirit of God is present here, the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit, please do your work here. Use our preacher in a mighty way. Father, there's so many needs here, hundreds and hundreds of people, and that means literally thousands of needs. Please work in every individual heart, in every individual life, the way you would like. May we leave a whole lot more like you and a lot less like ourselves, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
This last Tuesday, the President of the United States landed Air Force One at Martinsburg Airport. He was on his way to a rally in this local area. As is the case for some of you, I had the privilege of being invited, and it was made possible for me to attend that rally. Most of you know that one of the big issues in regard to the upcoming election is how our president has responded to the terrorist attack of September 11, and then, as a result, his war on terrorism, our war on terrorism. But let me tell you of a bigger issue. You see, the greatest terrorist in history is Satan. The real war is all about heaven and hell. The real war is about the souls of men. The most tragic thing to me about that date, 9/11, are the people who died in those bombings who were unsaved. I mean, the devil is the one that launched the attack. There were people that were, their life was snuffed out. But the bad part about that is, if they'd never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, that they will spend their eternity in hell. See, Satan wants people in hell. Satan wants to stop soul winners. Satan wants to stop soul-winning churches. Satan would like all the churches to stop fighting in the real war and decide to do something other than get folks saved. He would like us to take our main emphasis off getting people saved. He would like us to take our main emphasis off of heaven and off of hell. He wouldn't care if we were socializing in the community and having us a good old time and we all partied all the time around the church, just as long as we're not trying to keep people out of hell. Because the real war, it's all about heaven and hell. Don't lose sight of what this thing is really all about. The real war is for the souls of men. Hey, let me see if I can quickly adjust your thinking. Let me tell you one of the reasons why you need to have a good marital relationship. Because there is a war, and that war is for the souls of men. And when a man and a woman are married and have a decent relationship, they're more apt to be productive soul winners. They're more apt to be able to influence people for heaven. A lost and dying world's not going to listen to someone and who says, well, why don't you get saved and have a life like mine, when they know your life is full of misery because of your marriage. What's it really all about? Why are there uprisings in good churches? Is it really a couple of people that wear their feelings on their cuff? So they had their feelings hurt and they surmount a battle against the preacher or against the staff. Not really. I think it really is the real devil, and he is trying to hinder the influence of that church. Why? It's all about the souls of men. Let me tell you the importance of Christian schools and the Christian schools being kept right with God and right with the Bible and right with the truth and separation from the world. It's really not all about the education. It's really not all about, you know, people liking this rule or liking or disliking that rule. Let me tell you what it's really all about. We are to be training a mighty army of people to help keep this lost and dying world out of hell. That's what it's really all about. See, when you got born again, God could have gone ahead and taken you to heaven. Why did he leave you here? He left you here because there's multiplied millions of other people that have never been saved. He said, if I take you to heaven, you can't go influence them to go to heaven. Therefore, I left you behind. Now, get your marriage straightened out. Don't cause havoc in the church. Make sure you don't disrupt the Christian school. There's a war to fight, and that war is for the souls of mankind. That's why we need families to be right with God. Hey, individual, let me tell you something. Life may be tough on you, but let me tell you. You say, Brother Owens, boy, it seems like I am bombarded with hardship in my life. It just seems like I'm trying to do something for God. Some of you that are newer Christians, let me tell you something. Around here, we are in the war for the souls of men. You've joined our church, but just so you understand, it's like being in the barracks. And young Christian, you're going to be a little bit like being at boot camp. And we are at war with Satan, and he knows it. He knows it. That's why I warn you, don't disrupt the service. The devil, he would like to influence us to disrupt the preaching of the Word of God, because it is the preaching of the Word of God that strengthens our faith. And when our faith is strengthened, we have the faith and the strength to fight the real battle, and the battle is against the devil. The battle is against Satan. He is the ultimate terrorist. It is he that is trying to hinder you, young Christian. It is he that is trying to ruin your marriage. It is he that would like to cause disunity in our church. It is he that would like you to get you turn your nose up about the training in the Christian school. Hey, it is he, Christian. It is the devil that is trying to ruin your influence. When the devil entices you to sin, when the devil entices you to muddy your testimony, when the devil entices you to risk your morality, when the devil entices you to do wrong and to go against the things of God, let me tell you what it's really all about. It's really all about the fact that God wants to use you to influence someone to go to heaven someday, and the devil is trying to get rid of your influence. The devil has launched a war against you because God wants to use you. And let me tell you something. If the devil's fighting you hot and heavy, that's quite a compliment. He must know that you have the power to do something great for God. The devil doesn't have to mess around with those people that don't want to do anything for God. Well, they'll take care of themselves. Oh, but when the devil sees within you a unique potential, when the devil sees within you a power that could revolutionize somebody else's life, when the devil looks at your potential and he says, I got to watch out for that boy. I got to watch out for that girl. I better watch out for that marriage. They may rise up and do something great for God. And so he attacks you. He brings temptation your way. It is somewhat a compliment. The harder the devil fights you, the more God must want to use you. What's the war really all about? The war is really all about heaven and hell. The real terrorist is Satan. That's what the rearing of your children is really all about. We're to rear our children to care about other people with seeing heaven and hell in view, and we are to help our kids become an influence on a lost and dying world so we can get a bunch of people going to heaven. The great family is not your family. The great family is the family of God, and one day we will sit around His table at the wedding supper, and we will all enjoy what families really all about. Right now, we're divided into little units called families, and we're to rear our kids and straighten out our marriage. Why? Because this world needs a good testimony from you so you can share Him with them and we can all go to heaven someday. We lose track of what it's really all about. You see, for our church, our revival that we're experiencing right now, it's great. For Satan, this revival is terrible. He be ticked off. For the church, these days of great victory as we're experiencing here, it's a victory for us. For Satan, these days are a great defeat. For our church, these are days of soul winning. For the devil, these are days of soul losing. All saved people that are right with God want others to be born again. But get this, all of hell is against those souls being saved. What's the real contention in this life all about? What are the real frustrations in your life all about? What are the trials in your life all about? What are the burdens in your life all about? What are the hardships in your life all about? It's all about the souls of men. It's all about an eternity where there's a heaven and a hell. Satan will use anything he can to get you down. Satan wants to take you off the firing line. Satan does not want you to influence others for Jesus Christ. And that's where the battle really lies. It's a real war, by the way. We're not playing war games. All Christians are to tell others about Jesus Christ. It's called soul winning. As Dr. Bush read to you earlier from Ephesians chapter 6, this passage of Scripture speaks of the armor that is used for battle. And the Bible says we are battling against the rulers of darkness. Hey, accept it. Our enemy is bigger than Osama bin Laden. Our enemy is bigger than Saddam Hussein. Our enemy is the ruler and the rulers of darkness. The Bible says here in describing this armor that the Christian is to wear, it says our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. You say, what is that? That's soul winning. That's telling others about Jesus Christ. The Bible says that we are to carry the shield of faith. You are saved by faith. Now that you live by that very faith. But we are to carry a shield of faith. Our feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. The Bible says here that Satan will shoot fiery darts at us. I notice in verse number 17, the Holy Spirit of God is mentioned. It talks about the sword of the Spirit. And then in verse 18, he is mentioned again in the Spirit, the Bible says. You see, the Holy Spirit of God is, in a sense, our on-site commander-in-chief. And the devil is bombing the twin towers of your life and my life, and it is his goal to take a whole bunch of people out and to put them down and to make them useless and to try to discourage them. But I've got news for you. Our commander-in-chief will rise up in your life. He wants to use you. He wants to use you so you'll have a fulfilling life. And no truly born-again Christian has a truly fulfilled life until they start influencing others to go to heaven, because that's why they were left here. Hey, if you help with some fellowship that we have around here and you stir the mashed potatoes, I'm glad that you did, but that will not take the place of you telling others about Jesus Christ. If you help to mow the lawn, and God knows it needs, we need help in mowing the lawn. We've got a lot of property here. That will not take the place of you telling others about Jesus Christ. You see, there's somebody out there that God left you behind to tell, and if you don't tell them, you're in trouble with God. And they're in worse trouble because you're already born again, but they're not. What's the real war? The real war is between Satan and Jesus Christ and his army and God's army. And whether you like it or not, you are in the army of the Lord. You see, the Holy Spirit here is mentioned. He is the key to the victory when battling against Satan. You say, oh, Brother Owen, this is kind of scary. I'm in a war, and you're making it very real today. I mean, I am battling against Satan. You say, I'm scared. I've got good news for you. He's not going to require you to fight the battle on your own. You see, the Bible says here that the Holy Spirit is available to you. He is called in 1 Thessalonians 4:8, he's called the Holy Spirit. In 1 John 5:7, he's called the Holy Ghost. In Mark chapter 1, verse number 10, they picture him as a heavenly dove. In Psalm chapter 92, verse number 10, it talks about him being fresh oil. The Spirit often is referred to as oil in the Bible. And in Psalm 92:10, he is fresh oil. Now I want you to understand something. Jesus Christ, through the person of the Holy Spirit, he fought many battles. He fought many battles with Satan. Let me tell you about the most intense battle that Jesus Christ ever fought with Satan. It was the battle after Jesus Christ was crucified and placed into a tomb. The greatest battle, turn me up just a little bit, Brother Brett, this thing is not matching. We got it? Okay, back it off just a little if you will. The greatest battle ever fought was a battle when Satan did all he could to torture Jesus Christ. It was back when Satan and the imps of hell wanted to see Jesus bruised, battered, bloodied, embarrassed, nails in his hands, nails in his feet, a spear in his side, a crown of thorns upon his head. They spat upon him. They gave him vinegar and gall to drink. They stripped him of his garments, beat him with the cat of nine tails, took staves or sticks and beat him. They beat him and abused him and mocked him and did everything they could to hurt him. And then Jesus died. And then they placed him in a tomb. The big battle was not before the tomb, it was in the tomb. You see, that intense battle between Jesus Christ and Satan took place when Jesus died. They put him in a tomb. They rolled a big stone over the entrance of that tomb. A bunch of the imps of hell said, "We got him! We got him! Woo! Hey, victory is ours. We have defeated the Son of God. Thereby, we have defeated heaven. We've defeated God. We are victorious." And the imps had thrown a party to celebrate. I mean, the imps of hell, they were partying hardy. They said, "Whoa, this is great. Hey, guys," they were high-fiving, you know. They were, "Whoa, we got him, we got him. I picked these three guys because they remind me of the imps of hell. But they were throwing high fives. The imps were saying, yeah, we've got him. He's down. Hey, they pronounced him dead. I think one imp looked over at another and said, hey, he's really dead in the ancient hall. He's dead as a doornail. He's gone. He's out. They put him in the tomb. And so they're partying. They're having themselves a real good time. And Satan said, hey, fellas, you listen to me. I've dealt with this guy before. Now, see, he was going around shooting his mouth off, and he said he was coming up out of that grave. Now, Satan said, I don't give an ounce of belief in that because I don't really think that he's going to do it. But that's what he says he's going to do. You guys, you might want to tone down your party a little bit. Satan said, you know what we probably ought to do? Even the soldiers and the authorities that time, they said, we better post some soldiers outside the tomb door just so we have someone to testify. Maybe somebody will come steal his body in the night so they could lie about him being resurrected. Let's put some soldiers down there. So they put some soldiers there. But you know what? The soldiers did not realize that Satan had said, well, I'm going to post some imps of hell outside that tomb door, and we'll stack them up. We'll have them all put their shoulder up against that stone. We'll make sure that he doesn't get that stone away. Well, you got to picture all these imps now. They got their little, pointy party hats on and their little blowouts. They've all been partying. They had refreshments, you see. They had devil's food cake, deviled eggs, deviled ham. I mean, we had some big roly-poly imps. They had their little party hats on and their little blowouts, and they had been having them a real good time, and the devil said, hey, it's coming close to the time of his prediction. The devil said, why don't you, all you imps of hell, I want you to go put your shoulder up against that stone. I want you to hold it in place. We're going to take all the power of hell, and we're going to put it right on that stone, because I want to make sure that if there's any chance that his prediction is true, we'll overcome him. He's staying in that grave. So you got these soldiers standing outside the grave, and they're marching back and forth, making sure nobody steals the body of Jesus Christ. You got the imps that can't be seen by the soldier. They got their shoulder up against that tomb. They're putting everything they can. They got the Pillsbury Doughboy devil dude. He's right in the middle, and he's really pushing on that thing, because you got to put the big guy in the middle. So there ain't no way that old stone is coming out. And all of a sudden, the earth began to shake. And all of a sudden, here comes Jesus Christ busting through that thing. And spiritually, you've seen imps flying everywhere. I mean, they're falling backwards and everything. They're falling right back on their can. Oh, about me to stay. They fell backwards, and there's imps flying everywhere. And Jesus comes up out of that grave on the third day. He said, the party's over, boys. The party's over. He pulled out a set of keys. He said, fellas, you don't even have the keys to your own apartment anymore. I've got the keys to death and hell, and you're in trouble. One of those imps said, how did he do that? And Jesus said, by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Because in Romans chapter 8, verse 11, it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Jesus Christ won the victory over hell and the victory over death. He won the victory over that tomb by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Now let me explain. Unsaved people, according to Ephesians 2:1, are dead in their trespasses and sin. They are dead as well. To win the battle for the souls of men who are, remember, dead in their trespasses, to win that battle, you need the power of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. The saved, that's you and I, we're alive and well, and we're equipped with the power of the Holy Spirit if we'll let Him use us. You see, when you got born again, the Spirit of God was sealed within you. The Bible says you are sealed with the Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. And that day of redemption is when Jesus comes and gets us and takes us out of this mess. But until then, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. So let me explain something. To every born again Christian in this house, you have the Spirit of God sealed within you. Why? Because God knew you could not bring somebody out of the grave of sin and death, a lost person, and you would need help. He left you behind to go tell others about Jesus Christ. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit because the same Spirit that helped Jesus get up from the grave is the same Spirit it takes for a lost person to get up out of their sin and death of being lost, and He left you His power to change the lives of men. Lost men are dead. Dead men can't battle with Satan on their own. Dead men don't make good soldiers. You see, God left you behind to help those that are dead and their trespasses and sins get born again. So He sealed you with the power of God to help you with their resurrection to salvation. I was preaching in Durham, North Carolina. Well, I preached on soul winning, and I told the people, I said, "Boy, I want you to get somebody saved. I want you to use your life, be productive for God." But I wanted to get somebody saved while I was there. I'd ask the Holy Spirit of God to help me. I said, "Lord, help me to get somebody saved." But boy, it wasn't working out well. I'd preached on soul winning. I'd preached on getting people saved. Well, it was time for me to go to one of the evening services, and I was there a couple nights, and I was at the hotel. I was sitting out front of the hotel waiting for my ride to go to the church and preach, and I had my Bible open, and I started reading it. The bellhop walked by me. He had helped someone to load something into their car. He turned around to go back into the hotel, and he said to me, "Sir, what are you reading?" I said, "My Bible." He said, "That is interesting." And I thought, "You are exactly right, and you don't know how interesting." I said, "Can I show you the most interesting part of the entire Bible?" He said, "The most interesting part of the whole book?" He said, "You know exactly where it is." I said, "I know exactly where it is." I said, "Come over here." He sat down. I showed him the most interesting part of the whole Bible for a lost person. It was, I told him about Jesus Christ and how to be born again. He right there, sitting on that bench with me, he asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him. The next thing I know, my ride pulls up. I pulled out a little 3x5 card. I wrote my hotel, the number of my room on that card, and he had to work that night. I said, "Doc, listen, I'd love for you to come to church tomorrow night and be my special guest." He took that card, took a gospel track, and that was the end of it. I got in the car. I went to the meeting so I could go preach. The next night, he was to call me. My phone rang right before it was time for me to leave, and it was not him. It was somebody else, and they wanted to talk and talk and talk. And to be honest, I didn't want to talk to him because I was waiting for a call for this fella to see if he's going to come to church. But they talked me all the way through the deadline and time to go to church. So I thought, "Oh, great. He's not, you know, I can't give him a ride. It's over." So I went down. I got in the car that would pick me up, and I went to church, and I stood up, and I preached. And I was preaching on keeping people out of hell. I was preaching on soul winning. Well, the invitation came, and when the invitation came, I had not recognized a fella that the church did not know had walked in the back and sat down on the back row. And when the invitation came, that fella walked down the aisle, and he made public his salvation, and that night, we baptized him. It was that very man that I had won at the hotel. He came to church on his own. He walked the aisle on his own. We baptized him in cold water because the water was not warm that night. And you know something? I tell you what happened. When the Holy Spirit of God gets involved, He can overcome just about any old thing the devil throws at him. Look, if He can help Jesus Christ to resurrect from the dead, I'm sure He can overcome some of the deterrence that the devil will throw your way. And I sat back and I said, I had done my part. There was no more that I could do. And the Holy Spirit of God kicked in. That man knew he needed to be in church. He knew he needed to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. And he did. And you say, Brother Owens, I do not think that I have what it takes to be a soul winner and tell others about Jesus Christ. Somebody has done told you a lie, because if you're a born-again Christian, you have all that it takes to be a soul winner, because it was given to you at the time of your salvation. You have him. He is there, and he's there to help you. You need the Holy Spirit to help you in the war for the souls of men. This morning, Mrs. Owens and I were on our way into church. I drove through downtown Martinsburg. I seen a man walking up the street. I thought, I'm going to just talk to him for a minute. I pulled the car over. I walked over to him. I introduced myself. I said, sir, what's your name? He said, my name is Charles Blair. I said, Charles, I'm a pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. He said, where is that? I told him where it was. I said, Charles, I need to ask you a question. I'm on my way out to church, and I need to ask you a question. Charles, if you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? He said, no. He said, and I couldn't believe it. He got irate with me. He said, I don't want anything to do with it. Nothing to do with it. Nope. He was raising his voice. I was a little embarrassed. Up until then, we had been very casual. But boy, all of a sudden, he got tough. He got loud. And he said, nope, I gave up on preachers a long time ago. I gave up on churches a long time ago. He said, there used to be this Baptist preacher back in my hometown. And we had asked him if he would arrange to pick my mama up in her senior years to go to church. And he wouldn't make the arrangements. They would drive right past my mama's house and go up the road and pick somebody else up. But they wouldn't pick up my mama. He said, I don't want anything to do with all that junk. I don't believe in you preachers. I said, Charles, I'd be willing to go with your mama. I wouldn't have done that. But better yet, Jesus would have never bypassed your mama. And this isn't all about preachers. It's all about heaven and hell and Jesus. I said, Charles, wouldn't you like to know what it takes to go to heaven someday? I'm telling you, folks, he went from a maniac of Gadara. I watched a peace and a calm come to the conversation. And in just a few minutes, he was asking Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him. Hey, listen. You want to know what the real war is? You want to know what it's really all about? It's all about heaven. It's all about hell. It's all about Jesus Christ. The real terrorist is Satan. And the terrorist in your life, the one that's trying to ruin your life and your family and your kids, the one that's trying to ruin your attitude about the things of God, it's the devil. Why? Because the devil knows if you're born again, you have sealed within you the power to influence someone else to get born again, and he does not want you to exercise that power. Say, what am I going to do about it? Well, you need to understand that the battle is won by the help of the Holy Spirit. God knew it would take the Holy Spirit. You need to face that. See, God knew that you'd need that Holy Spirit. That's why he sealed him in there, and his seal does not leak. He sealed, it's permanent. It's going to stay. He knew you'd need that help. The Bible says in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. The Holy Spirit of God will help to draw people to Jesus Christ. And I believe he wants to draw all men. It is not that God wants anybody to go to hell. It's God wants everybody to go to heaven. And there are some people that will reject the opportunity. Soul winning is an impossible thing, to be honest with you. It is an impossible thing for a human being. I don't care how winsome your spirit is, it takes the Holy Spirit to keep somebody out of hell. I don't care if you've read the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. I don't care if you've taken every class in the world about getting along with people and having a good attitude. You must have the attitude of the Holy Spirit of God to keep people out of hell. That's why he was sealed within you. You see, soul winning is virtually impossible, except for the fact that God sealed the Holy Spirit within you to help you with it. You walk up to a total stranger somebody you've never met before. They don't know you, you don't know them. Then you're going to use a book that they've never read before, talk about Jesus they don't know, and ask someone that doesn't know you, that you don't know them, to trust something written in a book that they've never read, so they can go to a heaven that they've never seen, so they won't go to a hell that they've never seen. Isn't that amazing? That is our predicament. I am to go, and that's why some of you won't do it. You say, this is impossible. Your problem is you're not familiar with the Spirit of God that is locked within you. You think everything's going to be done on your character or your personality or how good or smart you are. Well, I've got an education. You don't have to have an education to be a soul winner. God wanted it so any dumb bunny could do it. Amen, Brother Ewan? You go to somebody you don't know and you do this and you say, now, will you bow your head and close your eyes right there in public? That's what we did this morning. And let me, a total stranger, help you, a total stranger, pray to Jesus, to whom is a total stranger to you right now, according to a Bible that you have never read, and ask him to save you so you don't go to a hell that you've never seen, so you can go to a heaven that you've never seen. Would you like to do that? And the old Holy Spirit kicks in, and this total stranger, listening to a total stranger about a strange place called heaven, so they won't go to a strange place called hell, and putting their faith into them, which is a strange book, but the Holy Spirit of God, who is no stranger to influencing people, kicks in and they say, yes, I would like to pray right out here in public in front of God and everybody, to a God that I'm not really sure I know a lot about from a book that I've never read. You a stranger, me a stranger. I don't want to go to the hell that you told me about that I've never seen. I want to go to the heaven that you told me about that I've never seen. I'll do it. Wow. How do you do that, Brother Owens? It is the Holy Spirit of God that is sealed within you. Some of you non-soul winners need to stop making up your excuses and start allowing the Holy Spirit to use you to be a soul winner. So you need to realize the battle is won by the help of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, you need to ask God for His power, for the Holy Spirit's power. Ask for it. Now, when you got saved, He came into you. He's sealed there. Now you need to ask Him to start using you. You say, God, I want that power, so that power is useful in my life. Luke 11:13. It says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, talking about your fleshly children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Ask for the Holy Spirit's power. Say, Holy Spirit of God, use me. What's the real battle? What's the real war? The real war is all about heaven. It's all about hell. The real terrorist in life is Satan, and you need God's power. And you ought to say, God, give me your power so I can influence people toward heaven. Especially do you need that for soul winning. You know, no church member has ever left a good Bible-believing church who was filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you have all of Him, but He doesn't have all of you. He was sealed within you, but you've not yielded yourself to the Holy Spirit that's within you. And never has a true believer that has surrendered themselves totally to the Holy Spirit left a good Bible-believing church. Doesn't happen. They don't leave God contrary when they're filled with the Spirit of God. Hey, ask Him for His Spirit. Why? So you can get into the real battle of life. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit as you travel to church. Ask Him for the Holy Spirit as you travel to work. Ask Him to turn your radio off for a little while and beg God to ignite the Holy Spirit within you so when you get to work, you're a good testimony. So you'll tell others about Jesus Christ. Ask Him for your power as you go shopping. Ask Him for your power while you're around the house. Hey, God sends us out soul winning in pairs or twos. Why? That's so one can do the talking and the other is a silent partner. But let me tell you something. The silent partner that's there should not be, the silent partner should be silent on the outside, but not silent on the inside. Because as two people are talking to one lost person, you've got a mouthpiece that's doing the talking, a silent partner standing by. What should that silent partner be doing? They ought to be in their heart and in their spirit singing, saying, oh, Holy Spirit of God, save this person. Come in power and do a work in their life. I was preaching in Morgantown, West Virginia. And it's kind of unique that I have people from Durham here, which is one of my illustrations, and I have people from Morgantown that's in one of my illustrations. But I was preaching in Morgantown, West Virginia for Pastor Joe Elwell at the Emmanuel Baptist Church. I preached on soul winning. I was actually stuck, Brother Golden. I was stuck at your house. Elwell said, I'm going to come out and get you and take you soul winning. But it happened two times in a row. He could not come get me. And I wanted to go soul winning because I was telling the people, you ought to be a soul winner. You ought to get people saved. It's easy to do. You ought to do it. And I was thinking, well, I want to do it. I want to do it. I'm telling them how easy it is to do. I want to go out and do it. Well, I was getting discouraged because I wanted to get somebody saved. I wanted to get them down the aisle. I wanted to get them baptized. But it had not worked out. I was supposed to go soul winning. The preacher had some emergencies. It didn't work out. I was stuck out at Mother Golden's ranch with all the wild turkeys. And so there I was. And I, finally, the very last day, I got to go soul winning. And we went from house to house. I won about 9 people to Jesus Christ. I was so excited. I'd been signing them up to come to church that night. I had a partner with me. I said, you come by and get them at this time, and you come by and get them at this time, and you come by and get them at this time. There was a kid bebopping up the alley there, and I stopped him, and I said, hey, what's your name? He said, Michael Jackson. I told Michael Jackson about Jesus Christ. Now, this was a shorter, more masculine Michael. And I told Michael about Jesus Christ. And right there in that alley, Michael prayed and asked Jesus Christ to come in his heart and save him. I went to a trailer, and I tucked a little flyer for our meeting in that trailer, and I took off. Had to race back to the church. We got there, and I'd promised the preacher I was going to counsel with somebody for a little while for him. I turned to my partner and said, now go pick them all up. I thought I'm going to have a van full, and we're going to get them all baptized tonight. Well, my man, he came back. He seen me, and I was all excited, Brother Tim. As a matter of fact, I had me a real hot sermon about sowing and how easy it is to do that night, because I was going to preach up a storm and yeah, I'd do it, and here's some people that God used me to influence for heaven. And he came back and he said, Brother Owens, none of them came. I couldn't believe it. None of them came. He said, well, this one gave this excuse and that excuse. I said, oh, you should have tied somebody up and brought them. So I was a little discouraged. I preached my sermon. Wasn't probably as hot as what it should have been, because I'd lost a little confidence there. But I got out and I preached. You ought to get people saved. You ought to influence people. Get them saved. Get them to the church. Get them baptized. Get them started in their Christian life. Well, a man had walked in the back right at the beginning of the service. I turned to the preacher. I said, preacher, you know him? He said, I was getting ready to ask you the same question. I said, I don't know him. Preacher said, I don't know him. I preached, gave the invitation. That man in the back of the room left his pew, and he walked down the aisle. You know, I was amazed how quickly the preacher had won him to Christ, because they knelt there and they were probably there for just 1 minute. Got up and the preacher went back to baptize him. Brother Elwell went into the baptistry, and this is what he said. He said, folks, this is one of the craziest stories I've ever met in my life, or that I've ever heard in my life. He said, Brother Owens this afternoon was out soul winning out here in this trailer park area. He had stopped in an alley and won a young man to Christ named Michael Jackson. Just beyond a hedge, this man, the one he's about to baptize, was working on his car. He was sitting there listening to the entire gospel presentation, and when Michael prayed and asked Jesus Christ to save him, this man got on his knees in his driveway, prayed, and asked Jesus Christ to save him. This man had come running around the end of the hedge trying to catch me, but I jumped in the car to run back to the church. He said he went to the trailer, and he grabbed a hold of that flyer that told where the meeting was, brought himself to church, parked it in the back pew, walked down the aisle, and they baptized him. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Spirit of God gets involved, you can't stop the salvation of a soul. But you don't have to do it on your own. You're saying, Brother Owens, what happened? I don't even know what happened. God wanted that fella saved. I mean, if God can save Michael Jackson, God can save anybody. Hey, you need to realize something. It's the power of God that will help you to fight in this war for the souls of men. You ask him for his power. And some of you, what you need to do is claim it. By faith, decide he gave it to you. By faith, you ask him for it and say, all right, I got it. I'm going to go do this thing. God wants you to have his power. Don't wonder if you have it. Claim it and then go exercise it by faith. I believe this. I believe right now, in this service, God is speaking very deeply to the hearts of men. I, by faith, believe that the Holy Spirit of God that I talk to over and over and over again all day long in my life, I'm constantly saying, oh, God, use me. God, use me. Help me to say the right words. Help me to smile at the right time. Help me to dress exactly the way I ought to dress. Help me to go up the right road and down the right road. And, oh, God, use me to influence people. I just happen to believe that God right now is answering my prayer for His power, and something's happening down inside you. Because that which is not of faith is sin. I believe something's burning down inside you right now. I happen to believe some of you that had no plan of letting God get into your heart today, something's beginning to tingle down inside you, and you're saying, I don't understand this. I am more involved right now than what I thought I'd get in this sermon. I came in here to do my usual, you know, cross my arms, lock my heart, and not let Him in, but something's happening. I believe it's happening right now. I claim it. I believe it's happening. Do you know something? We need to witness to people. Bottled up in you is the power to help those that are dead in their trespasses and sins to be resurrected from that death unto salvation. Witness to people. Tell them about Christ. Claim the Spirit for which you have requested God to give you. You know, the Spirit of God has fought all the imps of hell. The Spirit of God is not afraid of the toughest person in Washington, D.C., or Chicago, Illinois, or Los Angeles, California, even tougher than that, Martinsburg, West Virginia. Did you know that the Holy Spirit is not intimidated by somebody's financial standings? Some of you are scared to death to tell someone about Christ because they make some money. They drive a nice car. They have a nice house. They boast of big bucks. They have fancy clothes. You're afraid to tell them about Jesus Christ, and that tells me one thing. You have depended on you to influence people for Jesus Christ, and it is the Holy Spirit that does the influencing. I challenge everybody in the balcony to come out of your hibernation and quit being ashamed of God and realize it is not you, sir, or you, ma'am, or those of you in the choir. You never saved anybody. You can't save anybody. It is the Holy Spirit of God, and He is not intimidated if somebody is rich or not. Well, the only people I ever tell about Jesus are the poor little kids, and the poor little kids need Jesus Christ too, but there are a bunch of other people out there that you're afraid of, but the Holy Spirit's not. Cut Him loose and let Him do a work. Cut Him loose and let's go get some people saved. I remember preaching at the Randolph County jail when I was a kid, 16, 17 years old. I'd go in and preach every Tuesday night five times, once to the adult men that had just come off the streets, once to the adult men that had been sentenced, once to the adult ladies, once to the juvenile boys. One night, I'd been waxing eloquent. I always do. You gotta hear my sermon on humility. It's the best. But I was preaching, and I'd preach so long, and I always do. But I didn't have enough time to preach to the juvenile girls, which was the fifth service. I walked into where the juvenile girls met. I pulled out a gospel tract. I handed it to a girl that was behind the bars. I said, I'm sorry, I'll see you next week, and I had to leave because my time was gone. I went back to church I went back to jail the next week. When I got there, I walked up to a girl, that very same girl that had been in jail, and I said, I'd like to show you how to be born again. If you'll step over here near the bars, I want you to read in the New Testament. She said, sir, I can't read. I said, I can read it to you. Just come over here and look at where the words are printed. She said, sir, I'm blind. I said, I'd like for you to know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. She said, I'm already saved. I said, how in the world did you get saved? She said, last week when you were here. I said, how did you get saved last week when I was here? She said, you gave me a printed gospel tract. I said, ma'am, you're blind. She said, yes, sir, Brother Owen. She said, I heard you preaching to the other people. She said, I long to know what you were telling those other people. She said, when you handed me that paper, I went to this other girl. She's out of jail now. I went to this other girl. She was mean and a nasty girl, but I said to her, would you please read this paper to me, please? I want to know what it said, she said. And that other inmate, she read to me that gospel paper that you gave me. And I went back to my room and I took that little paper and I got on my knees and I asked Jesus to save me. She said, I'm already saved. Now let me tell you something. I had cold chills all up and down my spine. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God had gotten into that thing. And though I did not have the time, and though she was blind, not even blindness would keep somebody from getting saved with the gospel. Gospel track. Why? God wanted them born again. Some of you need to stop making excuses. Brother Owens won't change his message. It is the ultimate message of the New Testament. It is what the Old Testament was looking forward to. It is what we will all look back to someday. We're to be soul winners. We're in a war. I'll tell you something that helps some of you to begin to understand the church here. Some of you can't understand me for nothing. You can't understand me why all these issues are big issues. Let me tell you why. You're not interested in the souls of men. You're not trying to keep people out of hell. You're not telling others about Christ. I'll tell you what would break a revival loose in some of your lives. If you would decide that you'll become a soul winner and you begin to see the necessity and the urgency, then you begin to see why Brother Owens protects the purity of the church, because the Holy Spirit of God will come in mighty power when a church is pure. When they uplift that book and they don't apologize for that book, more power for keeping people out of hell. If you really love God, you'd tell people about Him. And I don't just mean you say, my country, 'tis of thee. I'm talking about you talk. You tell people about Jesus Christ. You warn them about heaven. You warn them about hell. You would understand me better if you really cared about what God cared about. And the war is not between me and you, sir. The war is not between me and you, ma'am. The real war is between Satan and God. And the real war is about heaven and hell. And I have been enlisted as a warrior in the army of God. And I'm trying to recruit everybody. I'm trying to get everybody that's in boot camp fired up, charged up, and courageous enough. I've been trying to teach you how to use the weapon. I've been trying to teach you how to camouflage yourself so you can influence people for Christ. That's why He left you here. He did not leave you here to get you a big house. He did not leave you here to get a big car. He did not leave you here to get your retirement program. He did not leave you here to sit on the couch and eat potato chips all day long and watch Hollywood. He left you here so you could use the Holy Spirit that's within you to fight the war for the souls of men. That's why we're here. Some of us need to praise God for the Holy Spirit of God. By faith, praise Him for what He's going to do in your life. Praise the Holy Spirit of God. I tell you, after people get saved, you ought to praise the Holy Spirit. Say, oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. You got another one. Testify about your soul winning experiences. Give Him credit. Don't take it for yourself. Praise God for the souls that were saved this week. Maybe if some of you would praise Him for the last one, you'd get another one. I'm finished, but listen, let me make one final application. In the early days of civilization, when the battle shield was invented, it was made of wood, had a wood frame around the outside edge. Then they would take a dried animal skin and stretch it over that frame, a wooden frame. Much like, Ms. Weibel, is it needlepoint that has the ring? Is that what it is? Okay, you know, if you do needlepoint, you got that wooden ring. The way they built a shield is they would take a big wooden ring, and then they would stretch a dried animal skin over that wooden frame. Then they'd grab a hold of it, and they would use that in the primitive days as a shield. Well, the enemy figured out exactly how to penetrate that skin. You see, when that shield came out, they thought, well, what are we going to do? We can't shoot at our target well. And so the enemy began to put fire to their arrows. They began to put fire to their darts. So they would light a dart on fire or light the arrow on fire, and then when they would shoot at that shield, the dart that was on fire would stick in the shield, and then the dried skin and the wooden frame would go up in smoke. It would catch a blaze. Then we would throw the shield down, and the enemy would shoot us with the arrow. And many a good soldier had met his maker on the battlefield because the shield was not adequate. And so, the shield-carrying army said, we've got to come up with a way to keep this from happening. And they figured out how to do it. They began taking their shield and soaking that shield in a non-flammable oil. They would soak that shield in this non-flammable oil. And when the fiery darts of the enemy would hit that shield soaked in oil, that oil would actually quench the fiery dart of the evil. That is exactly the illustration that is being given here in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, 8, 9, all the way up to verse number 18. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Hey, you pick up that shield of faith. It is drenched in the oil of the Holy Spirit of God. And when Satan shoots at you, you block it with the shield of faith. And when the fiery dart hits that shield, it will quench the fire of the devil. But some of you, you're not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to protect you. You've not dipped your shield of faith into the Holy Spirit of God. You're not going to battle. You're not out trying to keep people out of hell. That's why you keep getting poked. That's why you keep getting stabbed. That's why some of you are bleeding like you're bleeding and hurting like you're hurting. You're not using the weapons of warfare. You're in the battle. You're in the battle. You have no choice. You're born again, and you're one of his targets. Pick up the shield of faith. Dip it in the Holy Spirit of God. Let's go charge hell, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. We got to keep people out of hell. There's no armor for your back, and that's why some of you feel like you're getting stabbed in the back. You even blame God. You say, God, why do these things keep happening to me? You're walking the wrong way, babe. You're to charge hell and keep people out of hell. Don't run from soul winning. You uncover your back, and there's no armor for your back. There is armor for the front. Now, like a mighty army, mount up on your horses. Let's go get some people saved. But wait, that's not all. That's not all. When a soldier would die on the battlefield, they would have to gather the bodies to bring them home. A soldier's body would be placed on his shield, and then they would drag him home with him curled up in that shield. And one of these days, all the saved soldiers of Jesus Christ, we either go up in the rapture or we'll die. But let me tell you something. If it is, we must face death. God's going to take our bodies, going to place it on that shield of faith that's been soaked in the Holy Spirit of God. And that's how we're going to be transported back to heaven. Because it is your faith that saved you. It is the Holy Spirit that will take you to heaven someday. That same Holy Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will help you to raise others who need a resurrection from being lost and on their way to hell, to becoming saved and on their way to heaven. If you're not saved here today, you got to get born again. God wants you saved. That's why he brought you here today. There's no mistaking it. If you're saved, it's time for you to stop making excuses. I can't do it. Yep, you're right. You can't. He can. He's equipped you with everything you need. Face it. Ask for it. Claim it. Use it. And praise God for it. And he said, but the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Let's realize what the real battle is. It's a war for the souls of mankind. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head.